Spirit, and we are looking at a period in the future that is about judgment, and this period is marked out by three different series of judgment, and we saw the seal judgments. When the Lamb takes the book and opens the seals, there are judgments that fall upon the earth. And then that seventh seal opens and there's silence in heaven. And it's kind of a calm before the storm. We'll read about that in chapter 8, verse 1. And then we read about these trumpet judgments. We looked at the preparation for those judgments, how these seven angels are given trumpets. And we see how there's a connection between the prayers of the saints answering those prayers. God is answering those prayers in the sending of these judgments in the tribulation period. And now we're going to look at the first four trumpet judgments that sound. And so I'm going to begin by reading Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, verses 7 through 13. First angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up. All the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of creatures which were in the sea had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it. And the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." Probably all of us have learned about the idea of an ecosystem. Probably at some point in your school, studying the science and things. But, an ecosystem is everything that's in a natural setting. And, we could probably think of, you're the place where you live. And everything that's in that setting, the grass, the animals around it, how they all interact together. And, we learned in science that the earth has all these major ecosystems, the forest systems and the grasslands and the desert and the freshwater ecosystems and the marine ecosystems. And, different things happen and that change those systems and it can affect it in different ways. And, that can even make changes in our economy. And, certain natural disasters happen and that has an effect on the crops or the trees in that particular system, and there's economic changes that happen even as a result of that. But we understand how dependent we are on the systems of the earth. If we were to take a look at what would happen to one of those systems if it were majorly damaged, our life would be majorly affected, and the reason I bring that up is because these judgments that we're looking at all affect an ecosystem in some way. They all affect the natural world in some way, these first four trumpet judgments. They're affecting something in the earth, and the last three judgments are more directed at man specifically, although man is affected by these judgments. And so, the outline is fairly simple tonight. There's four points, and each of them is the judgment that falls. And so we see the first one here. The first trumpet sounds, the angel sounds his trumpet, and there is a storm that happens. Verse 7, first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood.
And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and the green grass was burnt up. There are some people that interpret the book of Revelation, and they're coming to these things that come into the results of these judgments, and they're kind of interpreting them symbolically, and you know, come to the trees, and they're saying, well, you know, that must represent a nation or something, or coming to the grass, and they say, well, that's mankind in general, the grass. And you know, it's true that there are symbols in the book of Revelation, but generally those symbols are described as such. Where that symbol is interpreted, this is a symbol for something else. And so it seems like, you know, really the best way to interpret these judgments are literally. That literally these ecosystems are being affected majorly. And so there's this storm of hail and fire mingled with blood here. It's interesting the parallel that there is to the some of the plagues that God sent to Egypt, and actually these judgments in the tribulation. And you may remember the seventh plague that God sent to Egypt. We're told about that in Exodus 9:24. And it says there, so there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, and all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And, you know, when we look at those 10 plagues, we learn about what happened to Egypt. And, you know, we interpret that as literally, you know, that actually happened. There was that hail, fire mingled with hail, and there was great destruction in Egypt. And if we interpret that literally, you know, it seems like we learn about these future judgments, and we also see something that is very much literal. Probably, I would imagine that all of you have seen a hailstorm at some time in your life. Maybe your car got damaged, or something, you know, on your house got damaged, or something. But I would imagine that there was probably never fire and blood mixed with the hail during the storm. And so this is something that is really unprecedented, that will cause very great damage here. What does it affect? It affects a third of the trees burnt up by that storm, and all green grass burnt up. So imagine that. You look out, and there is no more green grass. It's all gone. A third of the trees just destroyed. And this is what God is telling us is going to happen at this particular time. Vegetation completely burned. Not completely, at least partially burned. We have in the first trumpet judgment. Then we see the second judgment here, verses 8 and 9, the second trumpet judgment. The second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Again, some people come to this judgment, and they are trying to find a symbolic meaning in that. Maybe a nation represented by this mountain, and you know, I don't think we can really see that here, or there's a strong reason to see that here. But John tells us here what he sees is not necessarily a mountain burning with fire. You notice it says, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And so he sees that something to him looks like a mountain that comes down and is cast into the sea. We don't know exactly what that is, but, you know, scientists even to today, even right now, are tracking something that's going on in outer space. And scientists have a list of over 17,000 of what you call near-Earth objects. And what those are asteroids. And, you know, what are asteroids? They're objects that are orbiting in space. And, you know, they're not planets, although some of them can be very large. And these things are flying around. And some of them are orbiting in such a way where scientists say that they are coming close to the Earth's orbit. And, you know, I don't know what John is seeing here exactly, but I think it is possible that, you know, John sees something like a great mountain, and some of these near-Earth objects are like a kilometer in diameter. And that's a pretty large object. You know, and to John, it could be, hey, that looks like a mountain crashing into the sea. And maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But we see the effects of that. It affects the marine life. One-third of the sea becomes blood. And again, we go back to the Egyptian plagues, and we could go back to Exodus chapter 7. You remember the first plague that God sent on Egypt involved the changing of the water into blood. Exodus 7:20, Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. He lifted the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And so, you know, that same or similar thing anyway happened with those plagues. And we find this second trumpet judgment, there's something at least similar, water changing into blood there, and causing a tremendous disaster, tremendous marine disaster. One-third of the sea creatures die. And, you know, you can go and look at some of the countries that are dependent upon the seas for their national livelihood, even. And imagine the impact that would have on some of those countries. And it also talks about the ships. You know, whatever impact this huge object that is crashing into the sea has, you know, you can imagine the tidal waves, the effects of something that big, or, you know, John sees it as a mountain, and imagine the effect that has on the ships of the sea, destruction on many of them. And so we have the marine life affected. We have vegetation that is burned in the first judgment. And then there's a third trumpet judgment here in verses 10 and 11. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. It seems that what this judgment affects is it affects the freshwater systems. You know, we have the second trumpet that seems to affect the larger bodies of water here. And this third one affects the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. We see that this is a star that John describes. It's falling from heaven, burning, and affecting, poisoning these water systems. John tells us the name. He says the name of the star is Wormwood. The Greek word there is absinthos, and that's a word that describes many different plants in the land of Palestine that are known according to this name and that have a very bitter taste, a very bitter smell, I understand, and many different kinds of plants there. And John says this star has that name, Wormwood. And it's probably a coincidence, I think anyway, but just maybe interesting fact here. But did you know that the Russian word for wormwood, do you know what that is? Chernobyl. And Chernobyl is, of course, the place where there was nuclear meltdown in 1986. And if you look at what happened in that situation, there was a poisoning that took place in that area. Many different things, people, animals, plants, things that happened there. And that's what happens in this case here. There's a poisoning that happens to the freshwater systems. And perhaps maybe some of you have heard of the, speaking about Russia, there is something that happened way back in 1908, June 30th, 1908, that there was a incident that occurred in Siberia, Tunguska, I think I heard somebody say it over here. And what happened there? Well, nobody knows exactly, but there was an occurrence that happened that flattened, really, trees in like a, I forget how big of a radius, but miles around, 40 miles at least, and the trees are all fallen, you know, totally uprooted, and, you know, all kind of fallen down in a direction, kind of a circular direction, and the trees in the center of that area are upright, the branches are completely stripped off, and you know, there are some witnesses, witness reports about what happened, people hearing a tremendous explosion, feeling heat there, and, of course, the Russians didn't let anybody in there to study that right away. It was years later that people were able to actually observe that, but scientists today feel that it was an asteroid that came that was completely disintegrated upon entrance into the Earth's atmosphere. And it created a air burst that just totally knocked over these trees. And, you know, that sounds kind of like some of the things that we're reading about here in the future. And, you know, whether this is a star, you know, a star would be more of, gases that are entering in, perhaps poisoning the water supplies here, or an asteroid, I don't know, but maybe something similar to that. Would be happening here, and God is allowing that to happen, and the fresh water supplies are poisoned here. Verse 11 says, many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And so that's the third trumpet judgment. And then we come here to the fourth trumpet judgment, verses 12 and 13, really just verse 12. It says, the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So here what we have is something else that is going to happen in the future, and to me it seems like the daylight... You know, we have daylight savings time, and it's going to be a loss of that daylight coming in the future. We see that the sources of light somehow are affected. And, to me it seems like the daylight itself is affected rather than the force of the sun. You know, you probably learned what would happen if the sun's energy were diminished even just a little bit, what would happen to the earth? We'd freeze. And so I think probably, you know, we see life continues to go on here for a little bit. Probably the amount of daylight is greatly diminished. And it seems to be alluded to in the text here, the end of verse 12, it says, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And so somehow the regular systems, the day-night systems, are messed up in some way. And the prophets actually in the Old Testament seem to allude to that. For example, Amos chapter 8, verse 9 says, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon. I will darken the earth in the clear day. And, some drastic change is going to take place when it comes to this fourth trumpet judgment. Then we have verse 13 as kind of a transition statement here. John says, I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets, of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. That word woe is a word that Jesus Christ used to describe the condition of people that rejected his ministry. Remember what Jesus said there in Matthew 11, 21. He says, Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. The areas in that were recipient of Jesus' ministry, and yet they rejected that. Such a privileged position, and yet they wanted nothing to do with Jesus. So Jesus says, Woe unto them. What does that mean? It means they're in big trouble. It's not going to be good for them when it comes to that future time. And so it is with the people on earth at this particular time. They are in big, big trouble, people that are still on earth at this time. You know, we've gone through the seal judgments. We've seen the tremendous destruction that occurs to the natural world, the vegetation that's burned, the marine life, the fresh water, the daylight systems are tremendously affected. But it's not over. There's still three more trumpet judgments that are increasing in severity. And then after that, there are the bowl judgments, the vile judgments, and those are even worse. And it's going to be really, really bad for those who are still left on the earth at that time. People today are in great, great trouble if they reject Jesus Christ. God has given the provision for people's salvation today through faith in Jesus Christ. And all they need to do is turn from their sins, put their trust in Jesus, and God will save them. But if they reject him, and we see the rapture come, and then we see these events start to unfold in the tribulation, those people that reject Christ, they're going to be in for these judgments. They're going to be in for these disasters that take place. They're going to be in for some serious, serious trouble if they come and they do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so we have the promise of God here. This is what's going to happen. I'm reminded of the warnings that God gave to the people on earth before the flood. And the warnings through Noah that God gave. And think of all the people that heard Noah and yet chose not to believe him. How would God do that? Why would God do that? And yet what happened? Well, God kept his word, and there was judgment upon the earth. Same thing's going to happen with these judgments. God has promised these to take place. And people are going to be in trouble if they just ignore those warnings that God is giving here in his word. It's going to get a lot worse on the earth, and we need to make sure that we, each of us here tonight, know that we are believers, that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't, today would be the day to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Would you bow your heads? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these promises that you have given. We trust that these things are going to take place. And we see that you have kept your word in the past through the Old Testament and the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ. You kept your word. And we expect you to keep your word for these promises as well, these warnings. Lord, we pray that you would help us to heed these things. Make sure that each of us here tonight are truly in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take